Oh, would you turn to Romans 8, please? Praise be to God. Romans chapter 8. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans 8. Is everybody there? Thank you, Father. In verses 1 through 5. Would you read it with me, please? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hold on a second. It says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He emphasizes about being in Christ Jesus. He says, those who are in the Spirit. Has everybody got it? Amen. He says, so listen, here it is. There's no condemnation. Now you got to understand what condemnation is. To declare a person guilty or worthy of punishment. That's condemnation. To declare a person guilty and worthy of punishment. He said there is no condemnation, there is no punishment, there is no guilt to those who are in Christ. And then he explains what in Christ Jesus means. He says those who are walking in the Spirit. Has everybody got that? Let's go on. In verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in His flesh. So if He condemned sin in His flesh, when you and I are walking in the flesh, what happens? Sin is brought back. But when you're walking in the Spirit, sin is condemned. Do you understand that? Because your flesh is crucified. And in verse 4, it says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this is very powerful. He says, because there is a requirement. And it's called a righteous requirement. And the requirement is that you and I walk in the Spirit. In verse 5, and it explains it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So this is very powerful. So the requirement is living according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Then there is not condemnation. Does everybody understand that? You know, so many people are walking around, hey man, the Word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But if you're walking in the flesh, there is condemnation. Has everybody got it? It's important. So there is a requirement. The requirement is that you and I walk in the Spirit, then there's no condemnation. Hello? What does condemnation again mean? To declare a person guilty and worthy of punishment. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Go to John 3:17. The name of this teaching is not guilty. Hallelujah. Not guilty. Gospel of John in 3:17. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Praise God. Is everybody there? In 3:17? Let's read it together. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God did not come to condemn the world, right? All right. Let's go a little further. He who believes in him is not condemned. What's the word believe mean?
Follow.
Amen. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Amen. So we see that's walking in the Spirit, isn't it? Because if you're walking in the light. So condemnation comes from practicing evil. Amen? It comes from practicing evil. Isn't the devil trying to get us to practice evil? Hello? Amen. Why? So condemnation can come, right? Okay. Now, there's something that happens here. Jesus came to restore. Amen? He came to rescue. He came to save and not condemn. How many times does the devil condemn you? Oh, man, he rip you up, put guilt on you, make you feel ashamed, make you feel this, make you feel that, unworthy. Make you feel like a real bonehead. Praise God. But there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, meaning those who are walking in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Now, there is condemnation for those who will not follow, isn't there? So there is a written requirement that we walk in the Spirit. Now, without Christ, we are condemned, guilty, worthy of punishment, aren't we? Hallelujah. Turn to John 6. John chapter 6. And verse 26. Everybody there? And Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God that you what?
Believe,
which means to what? Follow in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Not only was he removing that guilt or that condemnation which was leading to death, but he came as the bread of life to bring life to the world. Has everybody got it? In fact, we know that there is a resurrection, right? And the Bible says that many will be resurrected. And there'll be those who are resurrected, who do the right thing to life eternal, and those who will be resurrected, who do the wrong thing to condemnation. Amen? So there are those two areas that we have to be concerned about. But if we have that right relationship with God and we're walking in the Spirit, we're not under condemnation. But let me share something with you, which is a constant thing. I mean, the devil's always trying to put guilt on us every single day. No matter what, he's always trying to move us out of position. He's always trying to remind you of your past. Sometimes he's trying to remind you of a few things you did a few minutes ago. What you might have thought, what you might have said, what you might have done, what you might have touched. Right? So, but Jesus came to give us what? Life. Go to Romans 5. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Everybody there? Read it with me. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. So you and I were born in condemnation, weren't we? Even so, through one man's righteousness act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, praise you, Lord. First Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 18? You know, we talked a little bit during the service Friday about the importance of revelation, you know, getting revelation and what revelation was about. And we talked about, and we're going to just share a little bit here about the revelation of the cross, the revelation. And the revelation of the cross is an important factor in our life as believers. And there are so many attributes that come from the cross. And, of course, what we're talking about tonight is the condemnation that comes on man from darkness. Right now, we know that it can be even spoken through an individual to someone, and we know that when we come to repentance quickly, the condemnation is removed if we're willing to let it go. But so many times we want to justify our condemnation and try to repair it ourselves, and we can't. And there is a revelation through the cross, and it says in verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing, because they do not have the revelation of the cross yet, do they? And you know what? There are many believers who don't have the revelation of the cross. They just look at Jesus hanging there. Some of them just look at it, and that's all they can hear coming from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know? They look at the cross in that arena. It says, but the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, which is a representation of the cross. But there must be a real understanding and revelation of the cross. That's the only way the guilt is removed. Okay. But to those who are, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So to many people, and I share this again, there are believers who still do not understand the cross. The two things they get out of the cross basically is salvation and my God, why have you forsaken me? You know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, the devil tries to blind everyone from the rest of the representation and the revelation of the cross. Now I want to share a couple quick things, first of all. And we talked about this before. One of the major revelations from the cross is the Father's love, the Father's voice, and the Father's presence. Everything was always related back to the Father. The Father's love, the Father's voice, and the Father's presence. See, there was a process that Jesus was going through, leading to the cross and leaving the cross. There was a process that he was going through, wasn't there? Now, the first part of, by God expressing his love, there was a representation of the sacrifice, wasn't it? Involved in the sacrifice was the blood. Oh, the blood. Many people don't have revelation of the blood yet because they don't have full revelation of the cross. Is everybody with me? So they walk around in guilt, condemnation. They walk in torment. They don't understand. Let me share something with you. The Word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. One of the things is revelation. They're destroyed for lack of revelation. We need to have such an understanding of the cross. We need to have such an understanding of the blood. And when we do, we realize that we begin to walk freely. Freely. There's no strife. There's no struggle when we get revelation. And we talked about this before, that when revelation truly comes, you don't have to prove it. You don't have to prove it. You don't have to even be involved in it. It's going to come and swoop you up and put you where you need to go and what needs to be done. Revelation. Not only does revelation take care of you in that area, but revelation brings you strength, brings you authority, brings you encouragement. Amen. Amen. Brings you insight and revelation of who you are in Christ. And also reveals God's promises to us. Because we're going to the promised land. Hallelujah. If you've ever seen VeggieTales, I love that one. We're going to the promised land. Praise God. So we must get revelation of the cross. The revelation of the cross must first begin with the blood. The revelation of the cross first must begin with the blood. Remember, you and I were born by, of course, a father, natural father, right? Natural mother. Then we were born again by a heavenly father. Does everybody got it? We were born. So our blood is actually different. Now, we still may have the same blood type, but we're washed by the blood. You know, so many times I used to tell people, you know, and even when the devil attacks me, man, the sickness tries to come, this, whatever. No. I am no longer from that. My blood now runs from the throne room of God. We have been born again. But see, until we get revelation, we don't get freedom of that. Has everybody got it? Until we get revelation, we don't get freedom. Remember, we shared before about the importance of what truth is. And if you may know the truth, but if you don't have revelation of the truth, you don't get free. Amen? If you don't have revelation of the blood, how are you going to get free? Because everything revolves around the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything. That's how it all began. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We're getting somewhere. Go to John 8. John chapter 8. Praise God. Is everybody there? John chapter 8 and verse 3. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. I can imagine what he wrote. Get ye behind me, you know. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." First thing he did was brought everyone to themselves. He took the focus off of the woman and brought everyone to themselves. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and a woman standing in the midst. Doesn't that sound like me and you? When Jesus has raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Let me share something with you. This is powerful. Very powerful. Because here Jesus was given an example of the prefects of the cross. What was he doing? Sin no more. Listen, you and I have committed sin. We've had accusers, right? Does everybody understand that? What was he doing? He was giving a prefix to the cross. Now, he didn't hang on the cross yet, did he? But he was on his way, wasn't he? He just gave a prefix about the cross. What was it? Go and sin no more. You're forgiven. Your condemnation is removed. You've been caught red-handed. Hallelujah. You've been snagged on video. Heavenly video. You may have thought it was behind closed doors and nobody saw you, but it's been videotaped in heaven. Where's your accusers? Right? And he said to her, "Go and sin no more." Why? Or the condemnation will come back. Everybody got it? or the condemnation will come back. Let's read the next verse. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the what?
Light
of the world. He who what? Follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Wow. So what is he saying? Follow me. He was telling her, listen, go and sin no more. In other words, the only way you're not going to sin anymore is to follow me. Now, you're going to blow it occasionally, but you're going to be quick to repent. Why? So the guilt and condemnation can be removed. You know, I remember when of course, I didn't know the Lord yet. And I was in denial of my addiction. I blamed everyone else. You know, if I'd have known, I would have just said the devil made me do it, you know. But we were in cohorts, you know. Yeah, co-laboring with the devil. And one of the things that started to help me get freer, and the freeness of the guilt and condemnation, because you know when you're out there doing the things you know are wrong, I mean, it's tormenting. You know, it's just tormenting. And we've tried stuffing it under the rug, kept tripping over it, and so forth. And when I started to be honest, just to say, you know what? I'm an addict. And I got to do something about it. Does everybody understand? When I began to be honest with individuals, when I began to be honest with my family, when I began to be honest with associates and so forth, I found that this guilt started to lift from me. You know, there was no more trying to hide or be someone that I wasn't. Because I was messed up trying to look right. My mind was everywhere. Everywhere I thought about where I could get a dope and money. I was married to the drugs, no longer to my wife anymore. Amen. But he said, you know, I was caught red-handed, right? But finally, when I began to be honest with myself and with others and with God of what I knew him as, some of the guilt started being removed. Now, I wasn't delivered and freed yet, but things were happening in my life. You know, freedom was starting to access me. In Romans chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 1. So one of the things that will bring us back into condemnation is not believing or not following. Amen? The other thing is going back to sinning, right? Hallelujah. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. From whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Now, this will bring us another condemnation, won't it? If you're judging someone else that you're still doing, that brings condemnation. Amen? Has everybody got that? But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? No way. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. Repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good, seek for the glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Amen?
Amen?
No partiality. For as many as sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who did not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Condemning others while you walk or practice ungodliness is a no-no. You know, our conscience bears witness against us or with us. Now, let me explain something about our conscience. Our conscience is what we call an inner awareness. Does everybody understand that? It's an inner awareness of conforming to the will of God or departing from it, resulting in a sense of approval or condemnation. You know, you and I know. We get that sense in us, don't we? We know when we're approval, when we're pleasing God, and when we know when we're not.
Amen.
Amen? We know when we're not, man. You know, we try to stuff it under the rug. We try to justify it. We try to blame everyone else for how we feel. Come on, let's get real. That's because that inner awareness. Of course, who is that inner awareness activated by? The Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? But we call that the conscience. But it's actually a representation of the inner awareness of us. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 13, please. Is everybody all right? So the Lord didn't say not to judge, did he? He just said, make sure you ain't judging and trying to bring judgment on somebody else, and you're still doing the same thing. You know, man, you got to stop that fornication. And the dude turns around and says, yeah, you better get rid of the girl that's living with you. Hello. Or you better get rid of that book that's causing you to stumble. Oh, hallelujah. Or that place you stop by on your way home from work all the time. Matthew 13:35. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I think it's Matthew. Hold on a second. Oh, man. Glory to God. You know, God's got a plan. Oh, praise God. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now the Bible tells us, hallelujah, that our words don't fall to the ground. That we will be judged by our words. Amen? Depending on what we say can bring us into condemnation. Does everybody understand that? And in Matthew chapter 6, so, aren't you listening? Hello. Matthew chapter 6.
Matthew 12:35
is the one. I know, I'm going to go back to it. Matthew chapter 6. And 14. Is everybody there? Verse 14. For if you what?
Forgive.
Forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So what will bring you into condemnation? Unforgiveness. Hello. Isn't that the number one major thing? You know, people hold grudges and bitterness towards other people. They're still trying to justify why they did this to this person or whatever. And God is waiting on us to do something about it. Amen? He's waiting on us to do something about it. So unforgiveness is one of the major, major open doors that will bring condemnation. You know, and the devil has a right to bring condemnation to us. Many times I've prayed for people and the devil is there and he says, I have a right to be here. And you know what? He does. He does not have access to you unless he has a right to be there. Has anybody got it? He just can't come in with no reason. He's got to have a calling card. He's got to have ID to get in, you know? Now I'll go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And verse 35. Oh, hallelujah. Would you read it with me? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 10. We just want to touch on some things that will bring condemnation. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? For if we willfully, or if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now, what do you think the knowledge of the truth means? Revelation of the truth. Amen. After we have actually really received revelation of the truth, and we sin willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, the blood covering is no longer there. You are open. We are open. If the devil killed us right then, we would go to hell. There is no covering, because only the blood keeps you from hell. Do you understand that? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. Come on, read it with me, verse 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, And I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Yahweh. So willfully sinning after revelation of the truth will open the door to condemnation. You know, and the revelation in this area, what God is speaking about, because he says, who will trample the Son of God underfoot, counted the what? Blood of the covenant. See, when we break covenant with God, the promises are gone. Why? Because the covenant began with the blood, didn't it? When you repented and you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and to live right and so forth, that covenant was automatically established by the blood, and all the promises of God were available to me and you. Right? When we break that covenant, the promises are removed because we're no longer his. We're ours. And if we're ours, we're the Father from beneath. So we need to have revelation of the blood, don't we? It's important that we get revelation of the blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Simple teaching tonight. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Well, 15. Hallelujah. Hey, you're supposed to be ready in season and out, right?
Amen.
Make sure you bring your racer. In verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. With him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are what? Not your own. For you were bought at a what? Price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we're not ours anymore, are we? Oh, doesn't the devil just like to try and say, man, come on, you're all right now. Just start doing this. You know, you ain't got to wait up. Man, just start doing this. You know what? We're not ours anymore. And that's a revelation that needs to get imparted big time. We are no, it's no longer our life anymore. We have a whole new life. Covenant of blood. Everything is made brand new to us. Right? Everything is gone. Everything is made new. Oh, hallelujah. So we are not our own. We are bought. We are redeemed. We are rescued at a price. And the price was his blood sacrifice, wasn't it? Paid in full. Got it? Praise God. Revelation chapter 1. We need a revelation in chapter 1. So the next time the devil comes and attacks you and he says, guilty! What are you going to do? Plead the blood. Plead the blood. What you do is, I plead the blood. He's going to say, what do you mean you plead the blood? You just sinned. Hold on a second. Father, forgive me. Then he's got to back off. alone? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Now that doesn't give you the right to go out and willfully sin.
Amen.
Hello? You know, I can see the carnal mind, you know, making a list of all the things, you know. Yeah, man. I'm just, you know, I mean, there was a person that was, you know, some things just really blow my mind sometimes. There was an individual that was like, okay, well, you know, yeah, I'm cool. Every Monday I repent for what I did over the weekend. No covering. No covering. Yeah, man, every Monday I just repent and God forgives me and I go on. And I prepare for the next Friday night and I go out and use party and have sex all weekend long. And then Monday, just before work, I come in and repent and I'm forgiven. No, you're not. Because it says to turn away. Remember, he said to the woman, sin no more. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 5, would you read it with me? I'm from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory, dominion, forever and ever. Now he's made us kings and priests. Hallelujah, because we're royal.
Amen.
And one of the things the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. He doesn't want you to get the revelation of the blood. You know, because royalty always comes from a bloodline, doesn't it? Amen? It always comes from a bloodline. But he's trying to cause us to break covenant from this royal priesthood, from this royal family. He's trying to bring us on guilt and condemnation. Look, no one's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. But when the devil starts throwing condemnation on you, you've got to say, I plead the blood. Repent and get back in the Spirit. Amen? Repent and get back in the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, come on. You know, if you think about it, how much... You know, when you make a mistake, you repent, and the devil just beats you up. And then he backs off because he's got you on a roll now, and you begin to beat your own self up. Hello? I mean, beat you up, causes you guilt, causes, let me share, very important. When someone is so bound by guilt and condemnation, it causes isolation. And that's what he does. The devil likes to bring condemnation to create isolation so he can eat you up. Amen? That's how he gets us. You're either working for unity or you're working for isolation. One or the other. And so many times, oh, and the devil loves to paint those pictures. Oh, man, you know. I mean, you bumped into somebody in the car. You know, you got out, you exchanged the insurance, and the devil's beating you up. Well, man, if you were really in the Spirit, you'd have known it was there, and this, that, and whatever. And man, I mean, for a simple thing, he's beating you up. Next thing you're thinking about doing is selling your car, quit paying the insurance, and leaving home. No, that's it. I'm finding another place. I don't need this car. I don't need anything. I don't need this garbage. I don't, right? And he's beating us up so badly. But see, we have to be sensitive to realize how much we're getting beat up. Then we got to get to that place of like, okay, hold on a second. And as he's standing there accusing you, you've got to make your plea. I plead the blood. Amen? I plead the blood. But you first got to have revelation of the blood. Because then you won't know what, you don't know what it's done for you. Amen? All to God be the glory. 1 John in chapter 1 and verse something. Verse 5. Would you read it with me? This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Hello? But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that word fellowship is important, isn't it? Because what's the devil trying to do? Isolate us with guilt and condemnation? So you and I have got to really get a revelation of the blood, which removes this, which removes the guilt, condemnation, and isolation. Low self-esteem. Then it brings sickness to the body. All right? Brings insanity. Hello? Because now you're associating with this tormenting demons that are killing you. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we do have sin, don't we? But we're not under condemnation, are we? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which establishes back into righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Oh, hallelujah. Fellowship with Him, but still walk in ungodliness, we lie. If we confess our sins, we are clean. Cleanses us, and listen, His love is always towards us, right? But we're able to receive it now. When we get the revelation of His blood for me and you, we'll understand that His love is unconditional. That's the first thing of the revelation of the cross, is the sacrificial blood. That's the first thing. And sometimes, when we're going through all kinds of stuff, we need to go back to our foundational understanding of the blood of Christ, where we stand. Go to Acts chapter 20. See, the blood reinstates all of God's promises. Acts chapter 20. In verse 26. Acts 20, 26. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own
blood.
With His own what?
Blood.
For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Oh, yes. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So then, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by the blood. Glory to God. Not guilty. He said, I'm innocent. What was he saying? I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty, wasn't he? I'm innocent, not guilty. How do you plead? The blood. I have revelation of the blood. What did Paul preach? Christ what? Crucified. Because he had revelation of the blood. Oh, yes. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 9. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's read it together. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ had come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has short time. So how did they overcome? You know what they had? Revelation of the blood, didn't they? They overcame the what? Accusations. They overcame what? Guilt and condemnation, because they were constantly being accused. You know what? They knew who they were. They knew who they were. Because see, when you get revelation of the blood, you know who you are.
Amen.
And you overcome guilt and condemnation. And when you blow it, you just plead the blood. Oh, hallelujah. Would you go to 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise you, Lord. Some of us need this tonight.
Hallelujah.
All of us need this all the time. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervent with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed but incorruptible seed, to the word of God which lives and abides forever. Praise God. Redeemed with the blood, not with worldly things of silver and gold. Amen. Go to Luke 22, please. Luke 22. Luke 22. in verse 39. Coming out, he, Jesus, went to Mount of Olives. As he was accustomed, and his disciples also, what? Followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. What did he do? He sent them there, said, men, start praying. I mean, that was a warning from the Lord, amen? Pray that you don't enter temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you what? Enter into temptation. Now this is powerful, because the first blood that was shed by his own prayer. You know what he was fighting for? The will of God. Does everybody get it? The first blood that was shed, this was the prefix of the cross, wasn't it? Did he not come to do the will of God? You know what he's trying to do? Restore the will of God to mankind. It had to be done through blood. Does everybody got it? Because, remember, he was carrying man and God. He was the God-man, wasn't he? Everybody got it? So, in prayer, now listen, if you go back in Genesis, you'll see that the fall started off in the garden, didn't it? Well, what happened? It was the fight over the will of man and the will of God, wasn't it? The will of the serpent. And the will of the serpent won that battle, which became the will of man. See, the will of man is the will of the serpent. Hello? And so, Jesus went right back in the garden with him. Only he prayed through. In fact, the Bible says he prayed three times. And he dripped blood. What did he redo? He restored, and he was restoring the will of God through the blood. Right then, before the cross. Remember, Jesus didn't die on the cross. He died in the garden. The manifestation of his death was on the cross. Amen? This is where the blood, the first blood, before they even came and took him, before they beat him and whatever, willfully bled to restore the will of God to mankind. Is everybody with me? Isn't that what the struggle is? Isn't that what the fight is every day? Not only prayer is the fight, because prayer enhances and establishes the will of God in our life. No prayer, no will of God. It will be the will of man, won't it? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus came to restore the will of God, the will of his love, the will of his voice, and the will of his presence. After the sweat and blood, then he paid the price for man's mistakes, didn't he? On the cross. Amen? Oh, praise God. Has everybody got that? Go to John 10. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. No condemnation and guilt. Now, we know that there are many attributes to the blood, isn't there? Those are promises, part of the blood covenant. But we first must understand and get revelation that the blood's first purpose was to restore the will of God. By restoring the will of God, then removing the guilt and condemnation. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. Let's see. In verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. In other words, he is the access to everything. So many people are still waiting to, they're just hanging out at the door. But they're not going in and getting all the promises of God. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, hello, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy and to bring guilt, condemnation, and the will of man. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? Wow. You know, one of the things that we want is freedom from torment, isn't it? Freedom from guilt. Isn't guilt and condemnation a big, heavy part of torment? Oh, hallelujah. So when that starts hitting you again, what are you going to do? Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Why? Because life, Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. We should be walking in joy of who we are. A royal priesthood, royal family, and all the attributes that are brought with the blood of covenant. I want to close with the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who are not walking in the flesh, but are walking in the Spirit. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what?
New creation.
Wait a minute now. New creation. Why? Through the blood. Old things have passed away. In other words, he's got new promises, new covenant. Behold, all things have become what?
New.
Now, all things are of God, who has what? Reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now listen, new creation in Christ through the blood of covenant. The word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed, right? It's through the blood, isn't it? Here we are. We are a new creation of Christ. The word tells us that we can be removed from guilt and condemnation. It tells us that we become born again. It tells us that we can become healed. Listen to all the things that happens. He does far above all we could ever ask, isn't it? Those are promises. Blessings are through the blood, aren't they? By his stripes we're healed, right? We are blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places, and we are joint heirs of Christ through the blood. Through the blood of Jesus. Remember, the first thing where the blood began was for the will of God. For the will of God. And remember, he told the woman, go and sin no more. Do you think that she had any more guilt and condemnation? No. She was free. She was free. So I want to encourage everyone, stay in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And if you mess up and walk in the flesh, repent quickly. And plead the blood. Amen? That's what it didn't do is stop when the accuser comes and starts beating you up. Wait a minute. But you first must get revelation of the blood of the cross. Amen? To know who you are, where you are, where you're seated, right? And the promises of the covenant. Don't be fooled. Don't be pushed. And don't be found guilty. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that there is no guilt or condemnation because we can plead the blood. The blood that frees us from our past. The blood that heals us. The blood that positions us, that establishes us as children. The blood that establishes us as heirs. The blood that cleanses us from past, present, and future sin. The blood. Thank you that we can overcome the darkness, the guilt and condemnation, the fear, by the blood of Jesus. And we promise to give you all the glory, Lord. Show us and teach us about the blood. In Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen,
and good night.